From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. The womanly art of breastfeeding is the very picture of domestic bliss, a mother cradling her cherished infant, a baby eagerly consuming mother's milk. Besides the intimacy of the act, research has shown that breast milk can do wondrous things. It can prevent food allergies and ear infections and asthma. It can stave off obesity and boost a child's IQ. But is the research reliable? Joan B. Wolfe says no. She's not against breast milk or breastfeeding, but she does question the scientific claims. And she says the culture surrounding breastfeeding is more about perfect mothering than about simply nourishing a baby. Today on the program, is breast best? That's coming up after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. For the past 6 years, nursing moms have set up shop in the Salt Lake City Main Library during August to celebrate breastfeeding. The Breastfeeding Cafe is a place to answer questions, to encourage community support, and to learn more about the many health benefits of breast milk. Seems rather non-controversial, right? Well, one academic says some of the information out there is misleading. Joan B. Wolfe has combed through hundreds of studies about breast milk, and she says the research is actually inconclusive. And she argues that the rhetoric surrounding breastfeeding in America reflects middle-class values rather than concrete health benefits. Today on the program, we're talking about the science, the public discourse, and the culture surrounding breastfeeding. Joining us on the program, Joan B. Wolfe is with us. She's an assistant professor of women's studies at Texas A&M University and the author of Is Breast Best? Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. And Joan Wolfe joins us from KAMU in College Station, Texas. Joan Wolfe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we invite you to join the conversation with your questions or comments. 801-585-WEST is our number, 801-585-9378, or you can send email to radiowest@kuer.org. Joan Wolfe, what got you thinking that the conventional wisdom needed to be challenged? Why in the world would you want to take on breastfeeding?
Well, initially, I was not planning to take it on. I was more interested in looking at academic feminism, at the way that feminists have addressed the issue of infant feeding and breastfeeding in particular. And I turned to the medical studies just to get a sense of precisely what it is that breastfeeding does for babies. I expected to spend a couple of days, like I said, just sort of catching up and seeing what the evidence said. And as I read more and more, I became more and more shocked at just how weak and problematic that evidence is. So a couple of days turned quickly into well over a year, and I learned that the evidence is simply not as compelling as we are led to believe it is.
Now, you're a political scientist by training. Did you have any hesitation in taking on the medical establishment? Because, you know, pretty much every health organization, every doctor in the world supports breastfeeding as the preferred, the best choice for feeding a child.
Well, you'll not be surprised. You're not the first person to ask me about my training and how that qualifies me to read medical studies. I have a PhD in political science from the University of Chicago, and what social scientists are trained to do is to evaluate study designs and to determine whether the design has essentially answered the question that that the social scientist is trying to ask. So, in fact, evaluating this kind of research is precisely what I've been trained to do. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a lactation scientist. I am not looking at necessarily at the physiological response in the body. What we're looking at here is associations. What we're looking at is, are babies who are breastfed healthier than babies who are bottle fed? And then the second question has to be, if those babies are healthier on balance, is it the breastfeeding that's causing the better health? Just to give you an example, one of my favorite examples comes from Eric Oliver's book on obesity. He finds that middle and high school students who brush their teeth tend to be less obese than those who do not brush their teeth regularly. Now, he does not hypothesize that toothbrushing or not toothbrushing causes obesity. What he says is, what is it about children who brush their teeth more regularly that might be contributing to body weight? And of course, what he finds is a whole host of behavioral differences that are likely to help explain a healthier body weight.
So this is not a wholesale condemnation of breast milk or breastfeeding. It is about the methodology and the way that the claims have been projected out in the public sphere. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. And I think we have ample evidence that breastfeeding works for a lot of women, that they love it. When it does work for them, when women have chosen to do it, when mothers are in sync with their babies, it can be a tremendous thing. It's not clear to me that it has the kind of health benefits that so many have asserted that they have, and it's certainly not clear to me that we ought to be telling mothers that breastfeeding is one of the most important things they can do for their baby.
Clearly, breastfeeding is the way that humans have fed their offspring for millennia. When did an alternative, baby formula, when did that come on the scene?
Well, women have been looking for alternatives for as long as we can look back. Women have been looking for ways not to breastfeed. Unfortunately, a lot of babies died because there were methods for feeding them that were woefully inadequate. Long about the second half of the 19th century, maybe toward the end of the 19th century, we see with the increased scientization of many things, we see more scientists trying to come up with a kind of formula, as we know it now, to replace breast milk. And there are all sorts of competing formulas. And most agree at the time that breastfeeding breast milk is superior to just about everything anybody had come up with at the time. In the first half of the 20th century, we see improvements on those formulas. And by mid-century, we have doctors essentially saying not simply that it doesn't matter whether you formula feed or breastfeed, but in fact that formula feeding is better. That turns out to have been also terribly misleading, and we've been battling about this essentially ever since.
So we returned to, there's been a movement to return to breast milk, a push and a renewed advocacy that has spawned a steady stream of research. And I think you say in the book something like 7,000 studies have been published on breastfeeding. What are some of the health claims that are in these studies that you have particular problems with?
Well, I think I should start with what I think the good science is, and that is that it's very clear that breast milk reduces gastrointestinal infections. When a baby ingests the breast milk, that milk is loaded with maternal antibodies, and as the baby swallows it and as it goes into the gut, it fights bacteria along the way. You can actually observe this process under a microscope. I don't think there's any way to refute that. It's true that gastrointestinal infections in developed countries are not a major problem, right? And so the question then becomes, should we be telling women that they need to breastfeed because their baby might have one fewer diarrheal infection during the year? So I just want to be clear that I do think that breastfeeding does reduce gastrointestinal infections. It's not clear to me that it's a major problem, but it does have that benefit.
But it's the claims of preventing food allergies and asthma and giving your kid a higher IQ and preventing cancer.
Yeah,
are those
leukemia,
the ones that
irritable
that
bowel syndrome?
You?
Yes, very much so. And I think what you have is a very basic problem of correlation versus causation. On balance, when you compare breastfed babies to bottle-fed babies, on average, breastfed babies tend to be healthier. Right. We should be clear that there are many studies that show no benefits to breastfeeding. But I think on balance, more show that breastfed babies are healthier. The question then has to become, is it the breastfeeding that causes babies to have higher IQ? Is it the breastfeeding that that reduces cancer or irritable bowel syndrome, right? Is it breastfeeding that makes seven-year-olds wet the bed less frequently? Is it breastfeeding that makes people who are 30 or 40 more socially mobile? There are some pretty extraordinary claims made for breastfeeding, and they all are essentially could be called into question by the fact that there's been no causal mechanism that has been demonstrated.
I think there's a difference, though, between the promise of, preventing cancer and something like, social mobility. It's hard to argue, I think. There was a study out of the University of Minnesota Cancer Center. We have evidence to suggest lots of immune-stimulating effects may provide another significant advantage, protection against cancer. Looking at the enzymes that are in breast milk and drawing these conclusions, what's inflammatory about that?
Well, by today's standards, by the standards of contemporary health rhetoric, there's nothing inflammatory at all. We have a lot of health discourse suggesting that any number of behaviors will prevent health problems in the future. And I would go on record as saying that 99.999% of them will end up being wrong. We have no shortage of theories about why breastfeeding, or breast milk in particular, might be healthier. We have a tremendous shortage of evidence. And people often say to me, well, breast milk has all of these incredible qualities. The truth is that we have not been able to demonstrate that those enzymes or immunological qualities have any effect on the body outside of the GI tract. We have no evidence that they go anywhere else in the body. So it's not that the evidence is not suggestive. It certainly is. But it is no different from the evidence that tells you if you eat a pound of tomatoes a week you might have a reduced risk of cancer or something along those lines. There's a much bigger problem that breastfeeding research exemplifies, and that is the problem of associations, correlations in health research.
In the book, you also write that the messaging surrounding breastfeeding that's put out in the media and in literature, the headlines, they're often misleading. Can you give us some examples of what you mean by that?
Well, we've reached the point in our public discourse, and by this I would be talking about our newspapers and TV programs and magazines and the internet, where we've assumed that breastfeeding is better. And so we get a lot of headlines telling us that we found yet another benefit to breastfeeding. Or we get headlines telling us breastfeeding may increase your baby's IQ. With the word "may" in there, not highlighted, but something that should be the "may" should definitely be stressed. We have, in other words, headlines that feed off of the assumption that we have already determined that breastfeeding is better. It's very important for people to understand that the word "significant" means something very particular in research. When we discover that there's a significant relationship between breastfeeding and, let's say, reduced asthma, that does not mean that the relationship is socially significant. It means that statistically we have, to a fairly high degree, determined that the null hypothesis is not true. Now, that's very convoluted. I recognize that. But when we say that there's a significant relationship, it is a statistical statement. It has nothing to do with what the health benefits might or might not be. And we use this word "significant" in a way that adds to the misrepresentation of breastfeeding.
Even if the research is flawed and breast milk is not this, perfect magical elixir, what's wrong with encouraging people to breastfeed as a first choice?
Yeah, on the face of it, there's nothing wrong. And of course, the way you've framed that, it would be awfully hard to be against encouraging women to try to breastfeed. There are potential benefits. The problem is that we don't nicely encourage women to breastfeed. What we do is we say your baby is likely to get all sorts of terrible diseases if you do not breastfeed. And you've listed some of those, everything from asthma and eczema to leukemia and other forms of cancer. So the statement that most women can produce enough milk, right, and many women find breastfeeding to be rewarding, those statements, I think, are entirely unproblematic, right? What becomes problematic is when we start telling mothers that there are these terrible things that will happen or that are likely to happen if their babies are not breastfed.
I suppose that's what you mean in the subtitle of your book, The New High Stakes of Motherhood.
Well, and I think it's really important to recognize, and I talk at length in the book about what I call risk and a risk culture. And I think we have reached a point in our discussions of motherhood and of children where we expect mothers to prevent any conceivable, any imaginable risk to their babies, regardless of what the cost is to them. This is what I call total motherhood in the book, where mothers are really told that no risk is too small for you to be focusing on. There is no risk too small to your child that you shouldn't be working on preventing. And that is absolutely crazy making for mothers. And it essentially tells mothers that it doesn't matter how hard it is for you. It doesn't matter what the costs are to you, whether they are in terms of your emotional or physical or economic health. None of that matters. You should be doing everything conceivable to prevent even the most minuscule risks to your baby. That's, I think, the crux of the problem in the breastfeeding discourse.
Today on the program, we're talking about breastfeeding, and Joan Wolfe is with us. She's an assistant professor of women's studies at Texas A&M University. Author of the book is Breast Best, Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. We invite you to join our conversation with your questions or comments. 801-585-WEST is our number, or you can send email to radiowest@kuer.org. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back. This is Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce. Today on the program, a challenge to the conventional wisdom that breastfeeding is medically superior to bottle feeding. Joan Wolfe is with us. Author of the book is Breast Best, Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. Joining us now for with another perspective is Christy Puruznik. She is an epidemiologist and an assistant professor in the Division of Public Health at the University of Utah. She's also the spokeswoman for Leche League of Utah, and she joins us by phone from her office in Salt Lake City. And Christy Puruznik, thanks so much for being with us.
Good morning.
For those who don't know, what is La Leche League?
La Leche League is an international nonprofit, non-sectarian organization dedicated to providing a mother-to-mother breastfeeding support.
Okay. What percentage of women breastfeed in America? Do you know?
You know, here in Utah, we actually have the highest rates of breastfeeding initiation in the country, which means that almost every baby born in Utah starts out breastfeeding. But by the time we get to about age 6 months, our rates are about the same as the rest of the country, and I think it's down around 30%.
Hmm. As you see it, what is in breast milk that makes it so nutritious and the best form of feeding an infant?
You know, I wouldn't actually call it the best form of feeding. I would call it the normal form of feeding, human milk for human babies, so that, you know, a baby's gut is born expecting human proteins and human milk, and so that is what would make it, in my opinion, the preferred feeding mechanism.
And I don't think that Joan Wolfe would argue with that, but I assume you've been listening to her arguments, and I'd like to get your take on some of her points. Let's start with the point that studies are drawing conclusions that breast milk is the primary factor for many health benefits, from, you know, preventing obesity to food allergies, et cetera, but that the research seems to ignore all of the other factors that contribute to a baby's health, the way that a caretaker caretaker behaves and influences that baby's health. In other words, as she puts it, the correlation does not mean causation. Your response to that?
You know, as a scientist, I share her frustration with the research. Couple points on that. The people who write headlines are usually not scientists. And so, you know, for headlines, we have to look past that to the actual research. But when it comes to designing a perfect study, you know, we can't randomize people to breastfeed or not. And so whether we could ever really isolate that effect, I don't think is possible. So we need to rely on observational studies. And we hope that in those studies, people have done a good job of exposure assessment. You know, how long really were they breastfeeding? Were they breastfeeding exclusively? And most of the time, that's not really done. We may be grouping people who breastfed for one day in the hospital with someone who exclusively breastfed for 6 months and continued until the baby was 4 years old into an ever breastfed category. So, you know, I share her frustration with the science. I would like for it to be better, but ethically and logistically, I don't know that we're ever going to get something better. One might say that we could maybe compare mothers in a different culture where exclusive breastfeeding is more the norm or where there are not relatively safe options. But then, you know, is it really a fair comparison to compare a mother in Ghana to a mother in Utah, where the social structure and the expectations on that woman are very different?
Professor Wolf, your thoughts on that?
It's a really interesting question. And of course, it's widely accepted that it would be unethical for us to do any kind of randomization. In other words, if we were to take 500 new mothers and we would say 250 of you are going to be assigned to bottle feeding, 250 of you will be assigned to breastfeeding, and we will figure out whether we can isolate from comparing these babies whether it's actually breastfeeding that makes the difference. And the reason we don't do that is because we are convinced that breastfeeding is better. Now, I suspect you will not be able to find 500 mothers who would willingly say, I'm going to let you tell me how I'm going to feed my baby. And if you were able to get 500 mothers, there would probably be something particular about that group of mothers that would also cause throw the research into doubt. But the question really, I think, is why is it that we can't do some kind of randomization, right? And the answer is because we've already determined that it's unethical to give babies formula.
You have both mentioned the shortcomings in the media and the way that breastfeeding is portrayed through the messaging, the language. But I have to say, it's not, in defense of journalists, I can't say that it's all a journalist's fault or lack of knowledge. These come from a website called breastfeeding.com. Here are the headlines. Breastfed babies are less likely to have heart disease. I doubt that a journalist wrote that. Breastfeeding protects against cancer. So Christy Peruznik, the rhetoric surrounding breastfeeding, it's not just coming from you know, the science writer's point of view, but the advocates are making these claims that may be on some shaky ground.
You know, it may be on shaky ground. I'm just trying to look up this breastfeeding.com to see, you know, who the sponsors are or where it's from, but I want to pay attention to the show and not do that at the moment.
Okay.
But, you know, we have a very sort of repetitive situation where something may get said once and then repeated and repeated and repeated, and by the time it shows up as a headline on breastfeeding.com, you can't really go back to see the study. You know, they may be drawing a conclusion that is based on, you know, somebody suggesting that breastfed babies are less likely to be obese. Okay, well, if they're less likely to be obese, then they're less likely to have cardiovascular disease. You know, it's not necessarily transparent to be able to track it back to the research. And really, what pregnant woman has time to do all that? And what new mother has the time or the focus to do all that when she is, you know, mothering a baby?
And Professor Wolf, you definitely say that there's this kind of communication breakdown.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. I wouldn't blame journalists for everything. They certainly contribute, and some of it isn't their fault. You have journalists who are covering the music beat and the science beat at the same time, or the science beat includes everything from astronomy to anthropology to cell physiology, right? And no journalist can be expected to know all of that information. So this is another way that breastfeeding is part of a broader cultural problem with information and how we filter out good information and how we get the right information to the population. And then, of course, how we train the population to understand science. I suspect that Christy and I would agree that Americans are abysmally educated when it comes to reading science, understanding how science is carried out. So you have journalists who are probably not well trained writing things that are being read by a population that is not well trained to understand what the research says. And it's not surprising that, at least to me, that there's a lot of misunderstanding.
This hour, we're speaking about breastfeeding. With us, Joan Wolf. She's author of the book, Is Breast Best? Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts in the New High Stakes of Motherhood. Also with us, Christy Peruznik, who's an epidemiologist and spokeswoman for La Leche League of Utah. If you'd like to join us, 801-585-WEST is our number. And let's go to the phones. And Mandy is with us from Payson, Utah. Mandy, welcome.
Hi, I just want to say thanks for having the courage to write a book about this, because it's something so taboo to be bottle feeding your baby. I fed bottle fed both of mine, and they were both preemies, and preemies just don't like to breastfeed, and I don't think a lot of people understand that, but I had a lot of difficulties breastfeeding. I got mastitis. Both of my babies were in the NICU, and it was too hard to get up there and be breastfeeding all the time. And I found that I was just kind of like left alone to my own devices. And so the people who really push breastfeeding don't really encourage people in a good way to breastfeed. Like they really do like act like they're threatening you, that your baby's going to be stupid, your baby's going to have problems, your baby's going to be sick and have asthma, and like all the things you said. And I just want to know, like, why do you think they're so kind of threatening about it and not really encouraging about it?
Christy Peruznik, your thoughts?
I think that Mandy's situation with having babies in the NICU is a really stressful way to begin your journey as a mother. And it's, you know, the ultimately difficult situation of sick baby, you know, and I'm sorry to hear that she didn't have support. I'm glad everything is turning out, you know, it sounds like, well for her. You know, in the end, breastfeeding, although it is normal, it is a learned skill. And you know, we don't like to say that women fail to breastfeed. We like to say that the community failed to support them. And you know, maybe in her early days, with a different support structure in place to help her with the pumping and feeding the babies and then eventually bringing babies to the breast, that her story and her feelings would be different.
Joan Wolf, this is an issue that you address in your book at length, talking about the social pressures to breastfeed. And if you don't, the dire consequences that could result.
Well, and I do really think this is one of the most important things to be discussing. I have had lots of conversations with La Leche volunteers, 99% of whom are entirely what I would call rational, good people who are thinking about babies and mothers and really not trying to make mothers feel guilty, right? The problem is that the discussion is overdetermined, right, by this discourse that indicates that there will be terrible things that happen. What I hear a lot from La Leche activists is that they're all about the choice, that what they really want to do is demonstrate to mothers, support mothers, so that they can breastfeed. And I think it's very hard to argue with choice rhetoric, right? It's every woman's choice about whether she's going to breastfeed. The problem is that the choice is severely constrained. When you say to a mother, it's your choice whether you're going to breastfeed, breastfeed prevents leukemia and obesity and increases IQ and reduces asthma and eczema and allergies, but it's your choice if you want to do it or not. That's not much of a choice, right? We're really not presenting the information to mothers in a fair and consistent way.
Christy Perusnik?
I am not sure how to respond to that. It certainly is every mother's choice to do what she feels best, what's going to be best for her family. I've heard it said before that breastfeeding may not be right for every mother, but it's right for every baby, because as babies are born, that's the normal means of nutrition that their guts, their brains, their jaw development is expecting. And it's true that there may be people who provide information in such a way that it's not really a choice. And, that is difficult.
801-585 West is our number. Mandy, thanks for the call. Melissa is joining us from Salt Lake City. Melissa, hi.
Hello. I am a worker at the, or a volunteer with the Breastfeeding Cafe and a breastfeeding mother, and I've worked with lots and lots of women who are trying to breastfeed and who want to breastfeed. I love the way Dr. Perusnik phrased that the culture is really problematic in failing breastfeeding mothers. And I think a lot of this conversation is kind of contributing to that. Because first of all, most of the conversation hasn't revolved around breastfeeding as the biological norm. And when you put it that way, it sounds to the public like it's more of an option. And so breastfeeding mothers like myself face problems when we go out into the community and we try and breastfeed our babies. And people don't understand why we can't just pump, can't just feed them a bottle. And that really interferes with the whole process. So if we really want to support mothers, please let's talk of breastfeeding as the biological norm and not breast is best, because that's so easy to refute. But you can't refute that it's the biological norm.
Melissa, referring to the social stigma, you have felt that when you breastfeed in public, that there is some sort of stigma attached to that?
Well, absolutely. I am constantly talking with mothers who have had people approach them, ask them to cover up. One of the news stations just recently said that it was good etiquette for mothers to cover up when they were in public. And to me, that makes breastfeeding seem like something that's not normal. And I just feel like if we're going to talk about it, let's talk about it like it's normal so that people are more accepting and ready to see breastfeeding in public.
Melissa, thanks so much for the call. Joan Wolf, the social stigma persists, according to Melissa, that, women cannot freely breastfeed in public. And conversations like this only add to that stigma. Your response?
Oh, I think she's right. I mean, there's no question that we live in a culture that does not in many ways support breastfeeding. It's extremely difficult if you work. You get looks if you do it in public. And I think that advocates have done a tremendous job of normalizing, if I can use that word, breastfeeding. And I think that mothers who breastfeed do encounter that kind of opposition. I will say that there is also the other side, which is the mothers who tell me when they pull out a bottle how they are lectured by people around them that their baby should not be drinking from a bottle. We have clearly a culture that does not support mothers in general. And I do talk about this at length in the book as well. There's a lot of blame and there's a lot that needs to be changed when we think about infant feeding more broadly defined.
Christy Perusnik, when we talk about breastfeeding and some of the social and the scientific implications surrounding it, how should the system be improved? How can culture be more accepting and supportive, and yet the claims not be overblown?
Well, I just wanted to say that I really agreed with Dr. Wolf that it's not so much about infant feeding. It's about a culture that is not supportive of mothers and not supportive of parents, and that we see, airlines and restaurants banning children and things like that. All of these things make it slightly harder for women in order to achieve the goal that I think we all want of raising healthy children in a healthy society. But going back to the idea of, what could be better, what could make it easier, paid maternity leave could make it easier so that if women are choosing to breastfeed, that they can get breastfeeding well established before returning to work, so that then once they're back at work, it is easier for them to express milk for their babies if they choose to do so, because they've established a full milk supply. You know, when we expect women to bounce back from having a baby and be back at work in just a few weeks, it's unreasonable. It's a big job that we have to grow another human being inside of us and then get them out of us and then help sustain them into the world. And so that is one thing that could help, certainly.
Christy Perusnik, an epidemiologist and an assistant professor in the Division of Public Health at the University of Utah, also the spokeswoman for La Leche League of Utah, joining us by phone from her office in Salt Lake City. Christy, thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thanks for talking. I think the more we talk about breastfeeding, even though we may have different opinions about if it's right for women or not, it's good to have the conversation.
I appreciate your time. We're talking about breastfeeding this hour and how one social scientist is questioning the medical claims and the culture of breastfeeding. We invite you to join us. 801-585-WEST is our number, or you can send email to radiowest@kuer.org. We need to take another break, but we'll be back in a moment. This is Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce, and this hour is Breast Best. Social scientist Joan Wolf on the scientific evidence and the social dynamics of breastfeeding. That's what we're talking about this hour. 801-585-WEST is our number if you'd like to join us. 801-585-9378, or you can send email to radiowest@kuer.org. Joan Wolf is the author of the book, Is Breast Best? Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. And let's go back to the phones, and Meg is joining us from Richfield, Connecticut. Meg, hi.
Hey, I'm so excited that this is something I stumbled upon today. I'm a registered dietitian, but also a breastfeeding mom.
Okay.
And from the professional standpoint, as a nutrition professional, I completely agree with Joan. I wish there was more research out there, and I really fully believe some of the claims are outrageous. So as a dietitian, I try to really find a balance in my response to pregnant and breastfeeding moms about my opinions and all that. And I try not to force the issue, and I encourage them to do what feels right for them. And I think more professionals need to have that open approach to it, because some women find it challenging. And as a breastfeeding mom, I've found it very challenging. It's really hard. And so we do need the support like the La Leche League out there. So I'm just thrilled that this is something that's being addressed, and I'm really excited about this book.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. Let's take another call from Chris in Salt Lake City. Chris, welcome.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, I was just wanting to say that the research showing the medical benefits of breastfeeding is out there. It's hard to find, and I think more part of the problem is media never portrays that as it is portrayed, and it's also hard to find unless you're in the academic world. And second of all, I think it's very appropriate to have this conversation in Salt Lake City, because this town portrays itself as very family-friendly. But my wife and I, she's a breastfeeding mom, she's also a pediatrician and a researcher, she has been asked to leave places because she was breastfeeding at, say, a restaurant or at a store or something like that. I mean, that's one thing that's heavily looked down upon in public in this town, and there's also very little support in this area. So that's basically what I wanted to say. And I think the support needs to be up, not just in Salt Lake City, but everywhere else. So.
Okay. Chris, thanks a lot for the call. I want to read a few emails, Dr. Wolf. This is from Leanne in Salt Lake City. She writes, I adopted my daughter from birth and received a lot of pressure from the community when they saw me feeding my daughter formula. It's important for parents to know that there will be no detrimental outcomes for being unable to be breastfed. This from Hollis, who writes, I'm offended by Joan Wolf's minimization of the importance of breastfeeding feeding. Her claims here are no better or more constructive than those making the headlines supporting breastfeeding. Mothers, scientists, and doctors can't all be wrong. And this from Catherine in Provo, who asks, can your guest comment on studies that show that a woman's risk of reproductive cancers, breast, uterine, ovarian, as well as heart disease, is reduced by at least 12 months of breastfeeding over her lifetime? Joan Wolf, let's take that last question first about cancer and breastfeeding.
Yeah, you know, in my book, I really do focus explicitly on the health benefits that have been assigned to babies or have been attributed to breastfeeding for babies. I can say, and I'm reluctant to say anything too specific about the specific outcomes that that your writer asked about, cancer, heart disease, et cetera. It would not surprise me if there were benefits from lactation to mothers. I would be more inclined intuitively to believe that there are benefits to lactation for mothers' health because of the changes that women undergo physiologically when they lactate. That's an intuition that is not based on evidence. It's based on logic, and that's sort of what I counsel people to rebel against, which is don't rely on logic. But in terms of what the evidence actually says, it's very similar to the evidence on the outcomes for babies, which is to say that there is some evidence indicating that women who breastfeed for 6 months or 9 months have a reduced incidence of ovarian cancer or breast cancer in particular. There are also many studies that demonstrate no correlation. So I think we're pretty far from having a firm grip scientifically on what lactation does for women themselves.
What about Hollis's point that your claims that breastfeeding is medically is not medically superior to bottle feeding? That claim is no better or more constructive than those making the headlines supporting breastfeeding. Mothers, scientists, and doctors can't all be wrong. What do you think?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, to say that what I'm claiming is that there is no definitive or no compelling evidence that breastfeeding is better. It might well be, right? But we do not have any evidence, I think, indicating that to the degree of certainty that we'd want to have before making the kinds of claims that that we're making. As is frequently the case with my book, some of my own claims are misrepresented. I am not opposed to breastfeeding. I think breastfeeding can be a wonderful thing. I do think breastfeeding prevents gastrointestinal infections, although, as I've said, I'm not sure that's a compelling enough reason to be dispensing the kind of advice that we are dispensing. What I am essentially saying is this. There are risks to breastfeeding. There are risks to bottle feeding. And it is our job as a society to make sure that mothers are aware of the risks associated with both so that they can make informed decisions. I'm a strong believer in choice. I'm a strong supporter of breastfeeding for women who choose to breastfeed. I think women should be able to breastfeed in public and that we have a lot of work to do culturally to better support mothers. But I think it's important to recognize that I am not making the case that breastfeeding is bad, right? I'm not making the claim that we shouldn't be supporting breastfeeding.
801-585-WEST is our number if you'd like to join us. Joan Wolf is with us. Author of the book is Breast Best, Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. Let's go back to the phones, and Mary is joining us from Salt Lake City. Mary, hello.
Hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to add just a little bit. I had three children, and two of them were breastfed for, I think, a healthy length of time. But my one little girl had a tongue thrust problem, and she was unable to suck on a bottle for a long time or even eat with a spoon. It would have been impossible to breastfeed her. She had to wear a little bib and drilled. Grew up with a lisp and had to have therapy with that. I think she felt, left out, and I felt bad for her. But even though some of us really want and love to breastfeed all of our children, there are children who have sufficient blocks and problems where it just doesn't work.
Thanks so much for sharing that story. 801-585-WEST is our number. Joan Wolfe, you did touch on the cultural implications of the breastfeeding discussion, and you argue that there's been this sense of morality attached to breastfeeding, that if you do it, you know, you're great, you're exalted. And if you don't, there's some guilt attached to that.
Well, and, you know, this is irrefutable. We have so much evidence from women writing into newspapers, women on blogs, books, casual conversations, that there are most women don't get to figure out whether they want to breastfeed, right? They don't get to figure out what it is that they feel about breastfeeding or bottle feeding, because the decision is so wrapped up in this question of are you or are you not a good mother? And good mothers breastfeed. Mothers who are not willing to give their all to their babies choose to bottle feed. So the guilt is enormous. And what I think is particularly interesting is, despite the fact that the guilt is so pervasive among women who do not breastfeed for whatever reason, whether it's because there was an anatomical problem or whether it was because the woman just psychologically was unable to do it, the guilt is profound, and we still have women who don't want to do it, right? Who are clear that it's not something that they think that they can do, who try to do it anyway, right? Despite the fact that it is something that that is so difficult, and I think that tells us it's some evidence of just how pervasive that guilt is. I'm wondering if I could just make a quick point about risk, because I think it's very important to understand in this context. We make all kinds of decisions in our lives about risk trade-offs, right? We choose where we're going to live, what kind of car we're going to drive, where we send our kids to school, certainly where we invest our money. We are, as I've mentioned before, something of a risk culture where we are very much in touch with the risks that surround us. And we try to make good decisions that will work in the short term and that also will not have tremendous negative repercussions in the future. And we tend to make some of these decisions without being conscious of them. Let me give you the example that I give in the book and often in conversation. Children who live in urban areas are more likely to develop asthma. And this, I think, is scientifically demonstrated, and we know this to be because the air quality in congested urban areas is not as good. I think, be hard-pressed to imagine a public health campaign advising all parents to move out of urban areas, right? And just saying that, I think, will cause some eyes to roll, right? Because the cost, that is the idea that you're going to move out of either Salt Lake City or New York City or Dallas because your child has an increased risk of asthma, we assume that because the cost is so great, that is the cost of moving and changing our lives, that that's a risk we're willing to incur. What we don't tend to do is think that way about mothers. We tend to assume that regardless of what the risk is, if it can be alleviated by mothers, then it's something worth pursuing. And so we tell mothers that regardless of how difficult breastfeeding might be, whether it's difficult for you psychologically because you need to have your mental and emotional and physical space, whether it's difficult for you because it interferes with work, for whatever reason, that is the kind of thing you ought to be willing to endure because it's always worth it for your baby. And I think we have a bit of a double standard there about what we expect parents to do for their children.
Tana sends this email. The elephant in the living room here is that too many people, especially men, look at breasts as sexual objects instead of the natural way to feed a baby. This impacts how women feel about the process, too. Joan Wolfe?
I think it's true that breasts are sexual objects, and the truth is they are sexual objects for women as well. They are sources of pleasure for women as well. So we definitely have the issue where, you know, as somebody said to me, if a man sees a breast, he has to look at it. It's programmed, right? The sexualization of breasts is real. Right, it's not simply a cultural construct, and it does add to the difficulty, particularly when it comes to breastfeeding in public.
Let's take one more call. Let's go to Joelle, who's been holding in Salt Lake City. Joelle, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
I actually just had a little comment to parents out there that are concerned about breastfeeding in public. My little comment is if you're worried about what other people are thinking, I mean, look at the society today. Whether we wear short shorts, long hair, curly hair, we're all getting judged. Do your research, whether it's best to bottle feed or breastfeed to your, you know, whatever you're doing in your life. As a medical field, I work in the medical field, and today we just take up what the doctors say without finding research. Hey, your kid needs tubes in their ears. Well, let's schedule them for surgery instead of finding out the best pros and cons to what's going to happen. So that was just my comment. Find out your research, and we're going to be judged no matter what we do. So
I think that's such a good point, and even more so that you need to make this kind of decision in the context of all of the other decisions that you make about parenting. Breastfeeding is one decision. It's not insignificant, but it is not as momentous as we have created it to be, and I think parents need to get together and figure out in the context of their lives what works for them.
Joelle, thanks for the call. This email from Susan in Salt Lake City, who writes, is there any relation between the glorification of women who breastfeed with women who choose to give birth naturally without drugs?
I think it's certainly part of that discourse, this shift toward idealizing what we consider to be natural. So women who have drug-free births, women who make their own baby food, people who homeschool, obviously people homeschool for a variety of reasons, but there are many who believe that things that can be done at home without the intervention of others is morally superior, and I think breastfeeding is certainly part of that. We have this bias that we believe that what is natural is better, and we really misunderstand what the word natural means. There's really nothing on the planet that's natural. Everything has been interfered with by human hands, and breast milk certainly is a perfect example. It is filled with environmental pollutants, chemicals that, if you knew, one scientist said that if we regulated breast milk the way we regulate other products on the market, we would not be able to sell it, right? Because it would violate all sorts of laws.
Joan, we've only got maybe 20 seconds, but I want to find out why you wrote this book. What do you want readers to take from this?
I think it's essentially that decisions have to be made in context, that there are pros and cons, benefits and disadvantages, and that we need to think about infant feeding the way we think about other decisions in our lives. And I've seen too many women who have missed their children's infancy and babyhood because they've been so stressed about this.
Joan Wolf, an assistant professor and author of the book is Breast Best, Taking on the Breastfeeding Experts and the New High Stakes of Motherhood. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Radio West is a production of KUER News. Many thanks to Cynthia Martinez. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.